Exodus chapter number 8. While you're turning, I appreciate Brother Larry Stover singing the bass for me there this morning. I'm still waiting on Brother Gary to ask me to sing bass. Amen. That's terrible, you know. How am I supposed to preach after that? You know what I mean? Let me give you some things that are not in your bulletin. Brother Gary will be going over the announcements as I'm getting ready for the baptism at the end of the service today. Let me give you some things here. You're finding your place in Exodus chapter 8. We're going to be preaching on verses 16 through verse 32. Not going to get through it this morning. We'll continue with it tonight, the good Lord willing. We gave to a special Bible project in the land of Fiji. This came from Brother Butch Abbott. He made us aware of this. Our church gave money to buy Bibles to help put these Bibles into the hands of all the students there in that country. And I have received an updated DVD presentation of that, and I've took it home and watched it. It's a real blessing. It's 12 minutes long. So tonight, before the service at 6:15, service is at 6:30, but I want to encourage you to be back at 6:15. I'm going to show that DVD up here because our church had part of that. Our church, not the only church. It took a lot of money to put these Bibles into the hands of these students, but it blessed my heart watching it at home, and I trust it'll bless your heart tonight. 6:15, right here in the auditorium. Make special note of it. After the evening service tonight, we're going to have a special meeting for those who are interested in the shut-in and nursing home ministries. These are our two ministries that we're focused on right now, been working on these, and we've got it to the point, God willing, where we're ready to launch this, and several of you have an interest in this. So after the service tonight, we'll have an official meeting for those who are interested in working with shut-ins and nursing home residents. So you'll be here for that. And then, God willing, next Sunday morning, I've been thinking this week about how there's so many uncertain things going on in our world. A lot of uncertainties. Even in our country, a lot of uncertainties. And I've been thinking about you as the precious church people of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this week. And the Lord, as the under-shepherd, has been burdening my heart for you. And I sense that there's a little bit of uneasiness, worry, fear. What if that happens? What if this happens? From the economy to the religious situation around the world, in our area, abroad, if you're not careful, the devil will have a heyday with you and cause you to dwell on those things and focus on those things to the point where you're scared to death. And I've learned, not anybody personal, but I've learned that more than likely there are people that on the outside they have a smile on their face, but on the inside they're terrified. So God willing, next Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching a special message on the issue of worry. Now, don't raise your hand, but I wonder, do we have any worry warts here today? Have anybody that's scared, afraid, concerned? The unknown, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my country, my children? What's going to happen? You're afraid, you're scared. Can I say this? That fear is anti-God. It's not coming from the Lord. That fear is not from God, it's from somebody else. But we need to know how to combat against it. Amen or not, friends? Amen. So tomorrow morning, not tomorrow morning, next Sunday morning, you can come tomorrow morning, but I will not preach it here. I won't be here myself, I don't guess. Next Sunday morning, God willing, I'll be preaching on that subject. Let me encourage you with this. There may be people you know of, even in your family, that they worry about everything, concerned and afraid about everything. They may not be in church. What an opportunity to try to get them here next week. Amen, friends. Somebody will come listen to a special message like that when they'd never come listen to me any other time. I don't understand that. I mean, I'm such a good-looking guy and all these kind of things. And I think, Miss Judy, I've been told it's your handwriting. I had a package on my desk, and I opened it up, and I pulled it out, and it was socks about this big with an A on it, you know, for Alabama. But socks on it for that big, and says, I searched all over for the right size. I need to know, this is, we're not Catholic, but you're going to confess to the pastor here. Was it you? She's crossing herself. That's funny. That's funny, okay? It was you, wasn't it? Yes. I don't need your help on the altar today because I need somebody whose heart is right, okay? I'm just playing. Exodus chapter number 8, verse 16 through verse 32. Just going to get started today. The Lord taught me a great lesson this week about the Word of God. I was reading this and I was thinking to myself, not very exciting. And the Lord convicted me of that. Convicted me. And I got on my knees and I said, God, forgive me. It's the Word of God. And I want to thank you for it. Would you open it, my understanding? And I sat down and started typing, and I've got so much I can't get through it in one service. That's God. That's God saying, oh, you think it's not exciting, do you? Let me show you some things. I like it when God does that. Puts me in my place, you know what I mean? Exodus chapter 8, verse 16. The Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Look at verse 20. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. He cometh forth to the water and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, upon thy servants, upon thy people, into thy houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies and also the ground whereon they are. Notice in verse 16 he says, I'm going to turn the dust to lice. Verses 20 and 21, tell him that I'm going to send swarms of flies all over the place. So today I begin a message entitled Lice and Flies. Sounds appetizing, doesn't it? Lice and flies. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're studying through this book together. We've come to this passage. And as we come to chapter 8, verse 16, we're reminded of some things. And some things that we're reminded of is how the Lord God of heaven at this moment has been graciously dealing with Pharaoh. He had been sending Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh on numerous occasions to express his will, God's will, of letting the Israelites go free. Now, after Pharaoh rejected the Lord's will, the plagues began to be unleashed upon him and the Egyptians. However, we must understand that the Word of God is plain, in that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He showed this by continuously giving Pharaoh an opportunity to do right. He kept sending Moses to him. He kept sending Aaron back to him, saying, let my people go. No. He tried to get his attention. He sent Moses back over and over. And by the way, in this text, we see he does this again. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 says, who's a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. God is a God of mercy. By the way, I'm glad he is. If he wasn't a God of mercy, none of us would be sitting here. We'd be burning in hell as I speak. God is a God of mercy. And he's being merciful to Pharaoh here. He's continuously giving him an open door of opportunity. Obey me, obey me, obey me. And Pharaoh's not listening. 2 Peter 3:9 puts it this way, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has been good to Pharaoh to send him his word, and yet Pharaoh is adamantly refusing to listen. The Lord has turned the waters of the Nile River. I'm talking about when we come to our passage here. He's already turned the waters of the Nile River to blood, and he's already sent a plague of frogs upon the land that brought great discomfort to the land. Even in this, we see the Lord graciously trying to get the attention of Pharaoh and let him know that he cannot turn a deaf ear to the commands of God and get by with it without paying a terrible price. One would think after the river turned to blood and after the frogs were sleeping with him in the bed and all these other kind of things, one would think that Pharaoh would have been anxious to submit to the God of heaven. However, we see how after he got relief from the frogs, this is the last message we preached here, after he got relief from the frogs, the Bible says, and I quote, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them. And I've got my notes here. Can somebody say crazy? Crazy. Pharaoh's going to continue to learn, as Hebrews 10:31 puts it, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Before we get to the next two plagues, which is lice and flies, the Lord, right here, that the Lord sent to Pharaoh's life and to the Egyptians to get his attention and show his glory, let me emphasize here again how it is dangerous to reject the will of God. Anytime the Lord shares his will with us, he is showing us great grace, and he's showing us great mercy at that time in our lives. However, when God speaks to your heart, if you harden your heart towards the will of God, you are living foolishly. Because God is in control of everything, including the dust under your feet. And at any moment, God can slam the open door of opportunity closed, and his mercy can run out on any one of us. Don't live like Pharaoh. Submit to the Lord's will for your life, whether it be for salvation or for something else. Don't go through life thinking that you know as much as Pharaoh did. Who is God that I should submit to him? And even after God is displaying his power and leaving an open door, let my people go, let my people go, let my people go, let my people go. He persistently is so stubborn that he keeps on going his own way, doing his own thing. And God's going to turn the heat up on him. Let me tell you something. I don't want God to turn the heat up on me. And can I say this to you? You don't either. Today, what we have here is we come to the next two plagues. This is plague number 3 and number 4. There's 10 of them total. But plagues number 3 and number 4 against Pharaoh and the Egyptians has to do with the dust becoming lice and sending all kinds, swarms of flies into that area. You know, what the Lord is doing when he is bringing out these plagues is every plague is aimed at an Egyptian god, every one of them. In other words, when he sends the lice, he sends the flies, he sends the frogs, he turned the Nile River to blood and all the other things, he is attacking a specific god back in this day in the land of Egypt. As a matter of fact, I found in my Old Testament survey notebook a chart that Mr. Kaiser had given to us. It's not original with him. Some of it is, I think, but not all of it. And I have had that run off for you, and those are available after this service. They're on the Welcome Center out there. It has all 10 plagues on it, and it has what god it attacks and how Pharaoh responded. Take that home with you. It's for you, okay? It helps you keep them all together to kind of see how God dealt with the false gods of the land of Egypt. Now, what I want to do now is I want to look at this story from verses 16 down through verse number 32. When we think about lice and flies, and I want to bring out three things. Now, I may only get to one of them this morning. I may only get to number 2 tonight. I don't know. If I keep going like this, I know it's not going to get any further than that. Number 1, the first thing I see in this story is I see the magician's confession. The magician's confession. Let's read it. Look at verse number 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth. And it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Can we stop there and say, can you imagine? Can you imagine that? The Bible doesn't say some, it says all it. All the dust became lice. You say you believe it? Every word of it. Amen. Because it's what the Bible says. Look at verse 18. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. Notice this. But they could not. First time it's ever mentioned. Remember, they tried to mimic the water turned to blood and they were able to do that. They mimicked bringing up more frogs. Boy, they were a blessing. They turned more water to blood and they brought up more frogs on the land. They were able to mimic that, but this dust turning to lice, the Bible says they tried to do it, but they could not. Then notice verse 19. Here's where I get the magician's confession. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. That's interesting here, that many times the Lord sent a warning to Pharaoh before he sent a plague, but he did not do it with this one. You read it, there's no warning. Without warning to Pharaoh, the Lord told Moses to tell Aaron to stretch out his rod and hit the dust. Take the rod and smite the dust, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. By the way, before I get to the main thoughts under this, concerning without warning, John Butler put it a good way, and I quote, he said, "Do not play the fool and think that since no recent warning has come, that no judgment will come. You will miss many warnings by not reading the Word of God and not hearing it preached and taught, but that does not stop the coming of judgment. It just stops you from receiving a warning that could save you from the judgment." Proverbs 29:1 says this, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." This is what Pharaoh is beginning to experience. Aaron stretched out his rod. Now, I'm trying to paint a picture in your mind now. See it. Go back in your mind. Let your mind wander back and watch this unfold. Aaron takes his rod and he hits the ground. And the Bible says the dust became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Matthew Henry put it this way, "These lice were very troublesome, as well as disgraceful to the Egyptians, whose priests were obliged to take much pains that no vermin ever should be found about them." In other words, the priests were so superstitious, if you will, back in this day, that before they ever tried to do their sacrifice, this is according to my study, that they didn't want one speck of dust on them. Nothing. Nothing. They didn't want anything on them. And now they're infested with lice all over them. In other words, what a terrible plague this is. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being completely infested all over you and all over the animals? Lice everywhere. What a sight this must have been. What a plague to get Pharaoh's attention. Pharaoh's magicians tried to do the same. Just see them. They thought they've got a lot of power. It's worked in the past. So they take their rods, if you will, and they go, nothing. Nothing. And here's what it is. The Bible says they could not. Then these magicians, who up to this point were unmoved and thought they were as powerful as Moses, God is, were brought to the place where all they could do was confess, "This is the finger of God." In other words, these magicians realized that no one but the God of gods could have done something like this. These are the last recorded words of the magicians. Did you know that? And the last recorded words of the unbelievers who thought they could mimic God's power, the unbelievers' last words are, "This is the finger of God." Now, what do we learn from these verses? There's three things I'm going to give you here. Three points of application. And I know what you're thinking. Lord, please help him not to try to get to point two then. Let me give you three points of application, thinking about the magician's confession where the lice is brought in. I'm talking about all the dust is turned to lice. The magicians try to do it. They can't do it, and they confess, "This is the finger of God." Three things I want to apply here. This is just how God applied it to me. Okay, I emphasize this is the application, not the interpretation. I just gave you the interpretation. I just told you the story. Now let's apply it to our lives. Let me give you how God applied it to me, number one. We can confess the Lord now or later. We can confess the Lord now or later. See, these magicians didn't confess the sovereignty and superiority of the God of gods when he turned the water to blood. There's nothing about "this is God" when he brought frogs. But God brought them to the point where he forced them to recognize that this has to be God. You listening to me? Moses and Aaron had already confessed the Lord. And one way the Lord spoke to me here is how we can confess that He's God now, or we will be forced to confess it later. In other words, sooner or later, every knee will bow. And sooner or later, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. One person put it this way, sooner or later, God will force even His enemies to acknowledge His own power. You know this is biblical? Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Philippians 2:10-11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, there are many refusing to bow a knee today. There are many refusing to say, I refuse that. I don't believe that. There's more than one way to heaven. He's not the only way. He's just a good man. He's not God. He's not salvation. And the Word of God says right here that every knee will bow of things in heaven. In other words, everything that has a knee in heaven. In heaven. Everything that has a knee. Every person will bow and say, You are Lord. He says every person on earth and every person under the earth. I don't know what all that means. But I know this, there's coming a day when those who will not willingly bow the knee now will bow it then. You know what I want to say to you this morning? I'm glad God's not going to have to force me to do that. I have willingly, by God's grace now, He's helped me see things, and willingly I bow before Him and I say, Lord Jesus, I do admit that You are the only way to heaven. He is God of God, Lord, God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings. He's the bright morning star. I'm telling you that He's the rose of Sharon. I'm telling you, friends, He's the substitution for our sin. He rose from the dead to save us and justify us from our sin. He is God. He is God. And even the unbelievers, even in this area, who will look you in the face when you knock on their door and they say, I don't believe in God, they will someday. And they will bow before Him and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But I'm going to tell you something I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the devil doing it. And he will do it. He will do it. He's trying not to. He thinks he's going to outsmart God. He wanted to be like God. And God kicked him out. But there's coming a day, he's snubbing his nose, he hates Jesus Christ, he hates God's children, he's trying to usurp the throne, and some glorious day, Lucifer, the great dragon, the father of lies, the devil that deceived them, the accuser of the brethren, I'm talking about that Satan, will bow his knee and he will confess, Thou art the Lord. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Glory, I'm looking forward to that day. Good night, I'm looking forward to that day. And I'm telling you this morning, have you bowed the knee? One way the Lord spoke to me here when the magician spoke up and said, This is God. This is the finger of God. He spoke to me saying, Listen, every person will one day say the same. Every person, now or later. How foolish is it for somebody to have God speak to their heart and they say, I will not yield. I will not bow. Look out into the future. You are going to bow. You have a choice to now, or you don't have a choice to later. Amen, friends. Let me give you a second thing he spoke to me about. This is just application. Number two, we are secure in the power of God. You say, Jody, where'd you get that? I'm just letting you see how God spoke to me. Again, I'm not I'm not interpreting this. I interpreted it when I explained it to you. I'm just applying to you how God spoke to me. We are secure in His power. Let me show you what I mean. These magicians said this. They said, "This is the finger of God." Stay with me now. What? I got blessed when in my office when the Lord was just showing me these things. In other words, they said, God has taken a finger and He's turned this dust into lice. You know, I did a word study on the finger of God. It's a great word study. And when I found what I found, when I typed in the words the finger of God, I found that it's used three other times in Scripture. I think it's four other times, but two of them are about the same thing. One of them is in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Here's what it says. And He, talking about God, gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony. Tables of stone, written with the finger of God. In that verse, we see that the finger of God wrote the law. In other words, He's the authority. He's the one. Then it's used in Psalm 8, verse 3. Now get this verse. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. In other words, when you look up and you see the heavens, by the way, there's galaxies, all of these kind of things. This, we can't even comprehend what all's in space. Honestly. Somebody was talking to me about that. Brother Harry Vicks was talking to me, and somebody else was talking to me about that, or talking to the church about that. And just phenomenal, just thinking about what God has done, His creation. This verse says that the heavens, the sun, the moon, are the work of His fingers. Then it's used in Luke chapter 11, verse 20. You say, where are you going? I'm getting there. I'm going a little under speed limit here. But it's used also in Luke 11, 20, for it says, here's the story of what's going on in Luke chapter 11. Jesus is casting out devils. He's casting out demons. And the unbelievers there are accusing Him of casting out the demons by Beelzebub. In other words, you're just using the power of the head demon to cast out demons. And Jesus said this, Luke 11, 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now, let's put this in. The finger of God turned the dust to lice. The fingers of God created the heavens. The finger of God, right here, cast out devils. Out, 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 out. See it? Metaphorical language. I know that. Symbolical language. The finger of God. Let me ask you a question. Is God's finger powerful? You better believe it. But you know how God spoke to me? I began to think about John 10, 27 to 29 when Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." See, these verses that I brought out about the finger of, this is the finger of God. These verses tell us right here how powerful God's finger is. But yet Jesus said His children are in the hand of God. What am I saying? I'm saying I'm not secure in myself. I'm not secure because I'm doing the best I can. I'm not secure because I've been baptized, turned over a new leaf. I'm secure because I'm in the hand of Almighty God, friends. And the hand of God, if His finger's that powerful, how much more powerful is the hand of Almighty God? And that's where all of His children are. We are inside His hand. The Bible says that we are hid in Christ, in God. What does that mean? I'll tell you one thing. That means nobody can get to us. Amen. Glory. You know what I'm glad of, and I'm writing on this. I know you're saying, hurry it up, hurry it up. I need it, whatever. I'm glad that Bible salvation is forever. I'm glad that I didn't do anything to get it. I don't have to do anything to keep it. I am saved by grace through faith, the shed blood of Christ. He needs no help. And I'm telling you, I like the little word, it's been done. It's done. He's finished it. And because of that, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and He moves inside and He places you in Christ and puts you in God. He preserves you in Christ, seals you with the Holy Spirit of God and puts you in the hand of God. And no man is able to pluck you out of the hand of the Father. This is another way God spoke to me. Let me give you a third thing that God gave me in these verses. Number one, we're looking at the magician's confession. Under that, I'm just letting you in on my personal walk with God, if you will, and just showing you how God applied it to my life. And one thing He said is, you can confess now or later. One thing He said is, you're secure in the power of God. If my finger's that powerful, I put you in my hand. Glory, let that grip your heart this morning. Then number three. Boy, the lost world needs to hear this. Seeing a miracle does not mean one will believe. Let me say this again. This is just how God spoke to me. Seeing a miracle will not help one believe and does not mean that one will automatically believe. Here's what I mean. See, in these verses, the dust becoming alive, God taking something that's not alive and putting life in it. Man was made of the dust of the earth, you know. And He's in the habit of making life out of dust. And in this, we see a mighty miracle. The mighty power of God had just turned the dust of the ground into lice. What a miracle this was, to say the least. But even after the magicians confessed, in other words, these magicians were, if you will, appointed by Pharaoh. They were his magicians. They were his sorcerers. He was, in today's terminology, their boss. They were his employees. They were there to make sure something like this never happened. And they tried it, and they couldn't do it. And his own magicians, his own sorcerers said, Pharaoh, this is beyond us. This is beyond any power we have. This is the finger of God. This is a miracle. But notice how He responded, verse 19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh hardened, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them. What's the point here? The point is, this is absolutely amazing. When he should have been on his face in repentance, he still persisted in his hardness toward the Lord. The point the Lord is showing me here is how that seeing a miracle is not what this world needs. What they need is to listen to and submit to the Word of God that we already have. I was recently told about a man. As a matter of fact, I think it was last week. I was told of a man who's a co-worker of another gentleman. And this gentleman's concerned about his co-worker because he's lost. And this co-worker looked at this gentleman who's concerned about him. He's the one that was telling me the story. And he said this. I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like this. I will not believe unless I see a miracle. I'm talking about living today, breathing today. A co-worker of a gentleman who comes to this church today has made that statement last week, a week ago. I will not believe there's a God unless of a miracle. I've got news for him. He wouldn't believe there's a God even if he saw one, because he sees one every time he looks in the mirror. He sees one every time the sun shines. He sees one when he sees the clouds and the handiwork of God all around him. There's miracles everywhere, friends. By the way, this reminds me of a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 16, verses 27 to 31. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. They both die, and Lazarus is taken into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was in hell. And he looked up and saw Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom, and he starts to speak to Abraham. This is a true story, literal story. That rich man's still burning this morning. And he called to Abraham. You can read it. It's Luke chapter 16, verse 19, down to the end of the chapter. I'm just going to give you the last several verses. And he's having a conversation with Abraham, and he says this. He says, "Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame." Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us that would come from thence." In other words, your eternal state is sealed. Then this rich man begins to think about his brothers who are still alive on earth. Here's what he said. "I pray thee therefore, Father." In other words, "therefore" is because there's no hope for him. In other words, "because there's no hope for me, I beg you, Father, that you'd send him to my father's house. I have five brethren. And he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets." Now that doesn't mean that it was Moses and the prophets. What he's referring to is the Old Testament. They have the Bible. They have Moses, the first five books, because Moses wrote the first five books under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. Let them hear them. And here's what this man said. He said, "No." I'm paraphrasing. He said, "No, Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead." In other words, if they see Lazarus, who they know he's dead, but they see him, and you send him, he said, they'll repent if they see Lazarus. And Abraham said this, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You know what Abraham told that rich man? That rich man said, "I know my brothers. They will not believe unless they see a miracle." And Abraham said, "They have the Bible. And if they refuse to listen to it, they wouldn't repent if a dead man sat up and told them the truth." This world does not need a miracle. This world needs to submit to the Word of God. And I ask you a question. Have you? I was hoping to get through 2 points. I just got through one. And this morning we're starting to look at lice and flies. Now I'm getting done, but that doesn't mean you are. There's a lot of rattling. There's a lot of rattling, a lot of moving. Stay with me just a moment now, okay? Thank you, I appreciate it. Lice and flies. And in this story, the first thing we're noticing, just in this story, by matter of interpretation, is we see the magician's confession. They were brought to the point to where they had to say, "This is God." And in that, we've applied three things, and this is what I want you to take home. You can confess God now or later, but everybody's going to confess Him. If you are in His hand, you're secure in His power. Amen, friends. And if you know somebody who's lost and they tell you, "I won't believe unless I see a miracle," don't pray for a miracle. Just keep giving them the Word of God. Because this is what they must submit to. You got it? You see it? And I thought this passage wasn't exciting. And we're only getting started. I think the Lord has a sense of humor, you know. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for this day. And I pray this morning that you will help us to understand the Bible. Help us to understand what you're saying and what you want us to do. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you some questions this morning, and question number one is a question I like to start with, and that is, are you 100% sure you are going to heaven? Has there really been a time where you've already confessed God? Have you already confessed what everybody one day is going to be confessing? That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know the Lord? If you do, it's a great thing. If you don't, you can before you leave today. Matter of fact, let me ask, have you all are 100% sure, you're 100% sure that heaven is your home? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You're 100%. You're not 99, 99.9. You're 100. God bless you. Thank you. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you today. God bless you. Is there one today say, Jody, I can't say that, but I'd like to. I could not raise my hand saying I'm 100% sure, but I sure would like to be able to. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out, but I would like to pray for you and help you. Is there one say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not 100%, but I sure would like to be. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. I'm not going to come to your seat. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Now, if you raised your hand to that question, or you know you should have, I want to ask you to do me a favor. Would you lift your eyes and look right up here at me just a moment? If you raised your hand to that, I want you to lift your eyes and look right here at me just a moment. I'm not going to come to your seat. I try to keep my word, okay? But I want you to know that you're among friends. You're not among enemies. The majority of these people that are seated here today and their heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, they've already done what I'm getting ready to ask you to do. And it's changed their life. It's changed mine too. The fact is, we realize that you may just be doubting. You may be lost. I don't know. Apparently you don't either. We want to help you. We want to help you. Are you seated beside somebody that you're comfortable with? Are you? Are you seated beside somebody that you're comfortable with? If you are, I want you to poke them. Would you do that? The one that you're comfortable with. If you get poked, I'd like you to look up here at me, please. If you get poked, I'd like you to look right here at me, please. In just a moment, I'm going to ask them to come. We're going to have a man with a man, a lady with a lady. And we're going to take the Bible. We're going to share with you Bible salvation. And if they poked you, that means that they are comfortable with you, and I want you to come with them. It helps them. See, the devil attacks at times like this. Look how long it is up there. That's got to be a half a mile from me to him. Don't. I'm trying to take all that away. You will be so thrilled that you step out and come and let us help you. The only way you won't be is if you sit there and don't come. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you get this? We love you. We want to help you. And I want you to come. But more importantly, the Lord wants you to come. We want to take a Bible and share with you the gospel. No pressure, just showing you that today you can get this saved. Wouldn't it be great to go home and know that you're going to heaven? Wouldn't it be great to know that? It'd be great. You can know that. You really can. But you must make the decision to let us help you. I hope you'll do that. And if you got poked, I hope you will help them come. Let us take a Bible and help them. Let's all stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Right now, as soon as Brother Gary sings, right now, as soon as he sings, would you leave your place and come? If you were poked, bring them down with you. Come now, please. Don't put it off any longer. Baptizing. If you are going to follow the Lord in baptism, now's your time to go. If you can go and start to get prepared, we'll get prepared just momentarily right here. If you're following the Lord in believer's baptism, right now's the time to go. If you're still standing, I'm going to let you be seated, but I want you to look right up here at me just a moment. Would you do that? You can be seated, but look right up here at me. We're dealing with folks. We're dealing with their salvation. I'm getting ready to go, and get changed for baptism. But let me encourage you with this. If you are truly a born-again child of God, you're truly saved. There's been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. You ought to rejoice in the fact that God not only saves you, but He keeps you. Does that mean that we shouldn't live right? No, it means we ought to live right. But I'm not living right in order to keep being saved. I'm trying to live right to say, thank you, God, for what you've done. I'm in His hand. No man can pluck him out of his Father's hand. Rejoice in this. May the Lord help you. God bless you.
We make a couple of announcements as they're preparing now for the baptismal service. Ushers, if you could, Pastor mentioned a handout, Brother Bob, if you could help me with that. Let's have each usher get those at the door, make those available for folks as they leave. The food offering is continuing. Canned fruit, canned tuna today. Also, Faith Promise, we're at 281. Our goal is 320. If you haven't had a chance to take part in Faith Promise yet, as the Lord leads you, please do that. I'm not sure if we have Faith Promise cards out. We probably need to check on that too, Brother Ron. Maybe make some at the get some at the Welcome Center, and we'll take care of that also. The big announcement is for you ladies. Our ladies' night out is Tuesday night. We have over 100 ladies signed up to come. I know we have told you if you want to bring an unchurched or unsaved lady to come, that they can come free. I know one church member has asked three of their coworkers to come, and they're all planning to come. Great outreach. We've told Mrs. Brower there may be some folks here that are lost. The gospel will be given. So let me encourage you, ladies, today is the deadline, okay? My wife will be at the Welcome Center this morning, probably Melina tonight, and go right to the Welcome Center and get those taken care of today, and it'll be a great time for the ladies tomorrow night. Remind you, ladies, you do need to bring a Christmas ornament for the ornament exchange, whatever that is, okay? So that is Tuesday night, all right? I think that's all. Men, if you'll come, we'll receive the offering this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for working in hearts and lives today. Thank you for the great truths from the Word of God that we've heard. We ask you to bless these that are being baptized this morning, these that have come for assurance, for salvation. I pray you'd help them to find rest and peace in the finished work of Christ. Bless this offering, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Tell you what, I think we can multitask here. Let's, while we're taking the offering, we've got some children who have come over that made a profession of faith in Children's Church. And let's see, Joseph Smith. Where's Joseph? There he is. Good. Joseph, you trusted Christ today. Rides Leroy's bus. Good. And Michael Rose. Good. Michael rides bus 10. He came for salvation. All of these that come forward in Children's Church, we do have someone deal with them in Children's Church, so they've been dealt with in one-on-one. Alexis Tipton. Good, there's Alexis, and she also came for salvation, rides bus 9. And Alyssa Wells. Who's Alyssa? Good, and she also came for salvation. We thank the Lord for these children who've come today. Again, they've been dealt with, and we have a discipleship program that all these children will also go through, so we're excited about that. Let's see, we have Adela, is that correct? Good. Adela Mays has come today for salvation. Praise the Lord. Trusting Christ for heaven. Wonderful. We're delighted to have you. Wonderful. We'll have some of our folks get with you about our Stepping in the Light program, and they'll talk. In fact, he's right there, so he's not far from you. That's Adela right there. You can talk to her. Good. All right. We do have one that wants to join the church. And Betty, I'm going to have Pastor take care of that at the end of baptismal service, okay? So you stay right there, and we'll get you taken care of.
Amen. right, folks. Appreciate you being here. God bless you. We're baptizing six today. Praise the Lord for that. We have, I'm going to call five of them off, and then with Sarah Elliott, her mom and dad are going to be joining today as well, so I'll save them for the end. We have Trip Klaus, Edna Hale, Diane Laws, David Eisenberg, and Megan White, who are all wanting to join this church by means of baptism. They've been dealt with, and praise the Lord for it. Upon their baptism, they'll become members of our church. So could I get a motion that we receive them upon their baptism, please? Brother Leroy, Brother Joe, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Opposed, same sign. We have Miss Betty Isabel Huntley, correct? Yes, here. God bless you. And you have been saved and baptized, and she is wanting to join this church by letter from the Password Baptist Church. And she also goes to our John Sevier Chapel, correct? Outstanding. We're so thrilled you're here. God bless you. What's the pleasure of the church that we receive her upon the letter? Brother Ira, give me a second, please. Brother Bob, all in favor, say aye. Aye. God bless you. And then we have Miss Sarah Elliott and her mom and dad. Brother Miss Elliott are all coming today to join our church. Sarah's going to join by baptism. Her mom and dad are going to be joining by letter from, did you say Grace? From Grace Baptist Church in Elizabethton. They've been visiting for a while. I tried to talk him out of it. I'm kidding with you. We're so thrilled to have this family. Their baby girl's going to get baptized and join the church. And they want to join together as a family. I think that's a beautiful thing. Amen. Now, what's the pleasure of the church that we receive then, please? Brother Mark, Brother Ball, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. I think I got different preachers. Say aye and raise your hand high. But anyway, that's good. Okay, God bless you. It's a blessing to see the baptismal waters flowing, isn't it? Amen. This is Trip Klaus. Fine young man. He's going to catch up with me before long here. On your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the life. It's a blessing to see these children with their moms and dads. God bless them. This is Sarah Elliott. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. David Eisenberg, we have the privilege of visiting with him in his driveway. And he bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. It's changed your life, hasn't it? We're so thrilled you're here. God bless you. And he heard me talking about those Alabama socks, and he started talking about his shirt here. That, you know, I live in Tennessee. I have no problem with that. You know what I mean? God bless you. We're so thrilled to have you. Proud of you. Amen. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Just bend your knees a little bit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the new city. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's thrilling.
Just a moment. Right.
dying loss, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. God bless you. This is Megan White. I'm proud of all these people. God bless them. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the next life. I got you. Bless you. This is Atana Hale. We had the privilege of visiting with her yesterday, and she's been coming. Her mom's coming, and some others there in the family. God bless you all. And she was saved here, correct? You got saved here, and now she's following the Lord in believer's baptism. So upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. It has been done as the Lord Jesus Christ had clearly commanded, and all God's people said. Amen. I hope you're glad you came today. Be back tonight, 6:15, to watch that Fiji Bible Project update. Please grab one of the charts on the 10 plagues. They should be out there on the Welcome Center. Should be plenty for you to take. Just take one right now if you wouldn't mind to do that. Please remember to do that, okay? Let's all stand together, please. I'm going to ask Brother Mark Snodgrass, sir, if you'll be so kind to dismiss us in prayer, please.